John 12. Good to be here today. Amen. The Bible said, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus, I like this fella, he was one of them that sat at the table with him. And then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus. Wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. A lot of them in the Baptist church. And had to bag and bear what was put therein. I love what Jesus says now. Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Thank you for standing this morning. Here in John 12, verses 1 through 9, we find three essentials in the church. Three essentials that are in the church. Or three essentials that make up a good church. Really four. And the greatest is Jesus is there. My good, what kind of church would we have today if Jesus wasn't here? I mean, I love to see you and thank God even for our visitors. Thank God for the home folk. Thank God for the youth and the little one. But let me tell you, friend, if Jesus don't stop by, we've wasted gas money to get to where we are this morning. And so here are these essentials we find in the church. First of all, you'll find there's old Lazarus while you see a marvel sitting at the table. It's a marvel to me that God saves the Lazarus of the world. It's amazing to me that God saves the legions of the world. The Bible said, Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, he came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Now, the Bible says that he was one of them. Thank God in verse 2, but Lazarus was one of them. I'm glad I'm one of them this morning. I'm glad I'm one of them that get to sit at the table with Jesus. Oh, a lot of folks say, well, oh, you're one of them. Thank God I'm one of them. I'm glad I'm one of them that still preaches out of a King James Bible. Somebody said, well, won't them new modern versions get it done? No, honey, I'm going to go with what's proven. I'm going to do what stood the test of time. And I believe it's the King James Bible this morning. I believe it's the gospel. I'm glad I'm one of them that believes the Bible that's on the pulpit this morning. I'm glad I'm one of them that absolutely is astounded at what Jesus has done for me. Matter of fact, you sitting there at the table and you wonder, well, what's so big about this marvel sitting at the table? Well, let's look in the preceding chapter, and until we get to heaven, I'm going to tell you what happened. And when we get to heaven, I believe He's going to tell you what happened. The Bible said in John's Gospel, chapter number 11, the preceding pages, the Bible said in verse 34, and they said, Jesus said, well, where have you laid him? Well, they said to him, Lord, come and see. Now, a little background. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were brother and sisters. And Lazarus got sick, and Mary and Martha sent after Jesus for Lazarus. I wish we could be like that and call on Jesus to come and get somebody out of the graveyard. And certainly they'd call for Jesus, and Jesus comes to town now. And he said, well, where have you laid him? And they said, well, won't you to come see, 35. And Jesus wept. And I tell you how come he wept in verse 36. The Bible said, behold how he loved him. Now, in spite of what's going on with you this morning, Jesus loves you. And in verse 5, even though He didn't come to their situation, the Bible said Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. Just because Jesus don't come right when you call Him don't mean that He don't love you. I'm glad we got a Jesus that loves us. You say, preacher, how much did He love us? Well, He hung on a cross and He died for us. And He said, by the way, I love you enough, I'm coming back for you. Now, to me, that sounds like He really loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. How come you know? Because the Bible tells me so. I can't believe that He would love somebody like me and you. It's amazing to me that we get to sit at the table with Jesus. And so He comes to town and He says, well, where have y'all put Him? And they said, come and see. And He wept. And then the Bible picks up. And in verse 38, Jesus again groaning in Himself, He come to the grave. And it was a cave and a stone lay on it. And look what Jesus told them. And take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to Him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. And then verse 43, when He thus had spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And look what your Bible said He done. And he that was dead. That's where me and you was, honey. We were dead. We was put in a graveyard with a stone put on top of us. He said, listen. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. His word brought life. And His word still brings life this morning. That's why the devil would love to take the Word of God out of our Baptist churches today. Because see, only the Word brings life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not by a drama team. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. By the Word of God. And so He said, Lazarus, come forth. And so look what He done. And so he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. That's what's bothering me this morning, is grave clothes. And his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Brother Mike, I got thinking about that young convert class you've been teaching. You know what you're doing? You're trying to get rid of some grave clothes on folk. Matter of fact, grave clothes don't bother dead people, honey, but it hinders live people. I find myself wanting to run around in these grave clothes. I still got flesh on. And Jesus said, y'all need to teach them how to get them grave clothes off of them. Can I tell you, we're full of doubt this morning, and we're full of flesh. And a lot of times we're full of the things of the world. Amen. Go say amen right there. And boy, wouldn't it be a blessing when we got saved, we could get off these grave clothes the minute He's saved. But let me tell you something, honey. These saints of God, these pioneers that's blazed a trail through this country with the Bible, they didn't know everything overnight. Matter of fact, the day I got saved, all I knowed I was lost. I was on my way to hell, but Jesus saved me. And Miss Flo, I got more that day than I thought I'd ever get. My goodness, my mind could not store what Jesus done for me that day. But it is a continual process getting these grave clothes off of me. These grave clothes like cigarettes. Somebody say amen right there. Like a little drinking, amen. They like to take a little chance at the casino every now and then. Buy them a good lottery ticket. Oh, and these old grave clothes loves to cuss, don't it? Don't look at the floor now. We ain't praying, we're preaching. Let's have preaching. These old grave clothes. Boy, ain't it something how rebellion wants to robe us. And my goodness, a lot of time when we ought to be doing what He says to do, we don't do it. But Lazarus come out of the grave. Thank God, though, I am alive. I've noticed this, that every fish that Jesus catches, eventually He cleans it. The problem is, a lot of preachers, a lot of churches, a lot of Christians, they trying to clean up fish before they ever get caught. honey, you just let the Holy Ghost take care of the cigarettes. You take the Holy Ghost take care of the hair and the earrings. He can do a good job this morning. Matter of fact, I can remember when boys had short hair, girls had earrings, and hogs had nose rings. Somebody say amen right there this morning. But honey, I'm going to tell you, friend, that Jesus does change sinners. And here we find old Lazarus sitting around the table. Lord, it's a marvel of sitting at the table. It's a marvel God had saved you. It's a marvel He would allow you to sit around the table with Him this morning. Could you imagine when Lazarus come forth? I want to ask him when we get to glory, what did you see in the unseen world? The Bible said he is dead. And the Bible says be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. Amen. Now, honey, let me tell you something. This is not a purgatory. It's not a holding place. You're not going to go to some place when you die and when you can get better and earn enough merit, you get to go to heaven. This is a dressing room for eternity. Jesus called him back from the unseen world into this world. Can you imagine what the... Hey, where's Brother Chuck? I wonder if he got a refund down at the Undertaker. Hey, man, wouldn't that have been a blessing? He walked in and said, hey, boys, I want my money back. Glory to God. So we see a marvel sitting at the... Can I tell you, it's a marvel. It's a marvel that God saved us and let us sit at the table. I was sitting in a meeting last Wednesday or Thursday morning. My goodness, God began to move in my heart and make me realize where He had saved me from, what He had done for me. Listen, don't ever get over getting saved. That's a problem with some of you, honey. You forgot about when you was lost. You forgot about when God called your name and you come out with them grave clothes on it. Now maybe you think you're on a little higher limb than somebody else. Honey, if it weren't for the grace of God, you'd be in hell this morning. I'd be in hell this morning. Thank God He called us out of the graveyard. Glory to God. Lazarus come. If He hadn't called Lazarus' name, He'd emptied hell and the grave. He'd emptied the whole world out of the earth. But He said, Lazarus come. Ain't it a blessing He knows your name? Ain't you glad He called your name? Miss Allison, He called your name this morning out of the graveyard. He said, hey, y'all take and remove the stones away. We ain't got to do our part for sinners. Amen. Hey, you ain't going to get no help unless you first help yourself. But if you want some help, God can give you some help this morning. He called on them, take the stone away. He didn't have to. He could have called that boy right through the stone. But He wants us to do our part. Some of you want God to do His part. You got to do your part first. Amen. Some of you waiting on another message. You need to deal with a message you done heard. Take away the stone, and He come out, bound hand and foot. And He said, now I want y'all to take the grave clothes away. Boy, ain't you glad you've been able to sit under some people to realize how to get the grave clothes off of you. Thank the Lord. In the Baptist church, when folks get saved, we just throw them out to the wolves. And why, people don't even know from John to Revelation. They know nothing about our Bible. We forgot about the simplicity of things. We forgot about the fundamentals, honey. Jesus saved sinners. And don't forget about the day that He saved your worthless hide. A marvel sitting at the table. What a testimony. Man, could you imagine if you come by the table? Wonder how excited Lazarus would get. I wonder, could you sit there and say, now, don't get excited, Lazarus. Now, don't get excited. Could you imagine when you come by and he's sitting there at the table and all of a sudden he had one chance to jump in the meeting? Why, my goodness, he'd shout the house down for the glory of God. You see, a lot of you say, well, you know, I'm not emotional. Oh, you're not. Well, what about when you lost your temper this week? Matter of fact, some of you need to let your face know that you got saved. And so we see this marvel sitting at the table. Number two, I said it was three essentials there in that church going on. Not only is there a marvel at the table, but now we see there is a Martha and she's a serving at the table. It's amazing about this woman. I'm going to preach a little bit about her. And so you might ought to buckle your seatbelt down this morning. In Luke chapter number 10, Luke 10, we didn't come to a politicking hall this morning, didn't we come down to church? Luke chapter number 10. Now let's watch her. Now something has happened. We find her, you hold your place, because in chapter 12, then there made him a supper and Martha served. Well, something happened to this girl. I wonder what changed her attitude. Something changed this girl. Because here in this preceding chapter of Luke's gospel, we see in verse 38 that it came to pass as they went that he entered in a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? I want to insert something right there. No, he didn't. Just like some of us whine all the time. My good boy, she'd fit in good at this church, wouldn't she? Whiners. The Bible said, Lord, dost thou not care? My sister hath left me to serve alone. Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered, said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful or worried and troubled about many things, but one thing's needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. See, she had her eyes on her job instead of on her Jesus. So many times we get our eyes on our job and we go to grumbling. Lord, isn't anybody else preaching? Lord, is it anybody else that the community is talking bad about them? Lord, is it anybody else going through what I'm going through? Oh, yeah. Jesus said, hey, Martha, Martha, said, thou art careful. Said, you worried and troubled about many things. But he said, look over here. He said, one thing's needful. Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, what's happened? We find Martha serving. Thank the Lord for the Marthas that will serve. Now, we've seen her past experience. But now we see a powerful expression. She's serving at the table and she ain't said one word because Mary ain't helping her serve. Isn't it a blessing if we can just get our eyes on Jesus? It won't matter who else is doing anything. I mean, let me tell you, it ain't about me. It ain't about you. It's about the Jesus around the table this morning. Ain't it amazing Jesus helped her complaining? Well, we're so blessed. The devil never does show us what we got. He just shows us what we ain't got. My goodness, we got enough to praise Him and bless Him about. I've noticed this, most people that don't do nothing in the church, they don't want nobody else to do nothing neither. Now, buddy, you get quiet right there. I'll drop a plow on down there this morning. I've noticed them folks that's always complaining about their brother and sister. It's that crowd that ain't a-doing nothing and that don't want nobody else to do nothing. Hey, new families, jump in this thing. We ain't got no monopoly here on God. We glad you here. It ain't no biggins running this outfit, honey. Amen. If you want to clean the church, just tell Brother Buddy, he'll give you a broom. If you won't cut the yard, see, Brother Mike, he'll be sure you make a lap or two. You know, just because you ain't been here long don't mean you can't get up in the choir and sing. Amen. You come around the altar and pray anytime you want. Anytime this preacher's preaching, honey, you just come on. You need to do business with God. You're not going to upset me. You ain't going to make me forget about my outline. You just mind the Lord this morning. And these people tell you that, you know, this is their winders. They ain't got no names on nothing, have they? And so, when you get to looking around, you'll get offended and you'll get to thinking you're the only one doing anything. Elijah found himself that way and it put him in a cave. In a nervous breakdown. Let me tell you something, friend. Thank God for the Marthas that are served around the table. Ain't nobody got to applaud them. Nobody got to send a thank you card. I can tell some of you sometime you come up, and man, you really wanting to get up on the stage in the church to sing happy birthday to you. We ain't got time for that. Look at this crowd this morning. My goodness. And happy anniversary. Oh, it's all about you, ain't it? Man, it is so fine. You know, we have Mother's Day. We got the youngest mama, the oldest mama, the nicest mama, the meanest mama. Lord, if we had the meanest mama day, we wouldn't have enough room on stage this morning. Go ahead, boy. Say amen. She ain't going to whip you. I'll take up for you. Go on and do a good sturdy amen. It ain't about her, thank God. For the Marthas that are serving, ain't nobody got to put a sign out on the highway and say, Martha is a serving. Martha's serving. It's all about Martha, Martha. Thank God for people that are to serve the Lord and be happy. You see why something happened to this girl. She had a paradigm shift. I learned that in school. Y'all impressed? I forgot what it means, but I remember the word. I think it means you was a thinking and acting this way, but something happened, now you're acting another way. Boy, isn't it a blessing for the Marthas of the church that are serve and ain't nobody else got to pat them. Now, you know, there's nothing wrong with encouraging people. Amen. Hey, let me tell you what, friend. You just let all the singers lay out and all the musicians lay out and all the preachers lay out. See how much church you have. You say, well, it don't affect me. Well, it affects me. But thank God for people that just do their job. Brother Buddy, he's been cleaning this church now for about 16 years. He ain't out there in the foyer with a sign around his neck that says, how y'all like clean church today? Matter of fact, last time I seen Brother Buddy, he was waving at people at the highway. We said, Brother Buddy, what are you doing? He said, we letting them know we're a friendly church down here. That's what he said. Thank God for a friendly church. Thank the Lord. You ought to go some places where I've been. You'll kiss these pews in here, friend. You need to get around them Appalachian people. You pull up a nice vehicle and Lord, you can't be no preacher drive something that nice. You can if you got a good church and they love you. Somebody say amen right there. Well, I want to get to the last thing. Three essentials in the church house. Not only do we see a marvel sitting at the table, we ought to never forget how good God's been to us. And listen, folks, with our Lazaruses sitting around here, don't you let me see you frowning at our Lazaruses. Don't go to messing with these boys with these tattoos up on the arms, because they got saved and all them grave clothes ain't off them yet. And all they know is Jesus has been real good to them. So just back up and enjoy it when they get around and it dawns on them what Jesus has done for. It thrills me to see you get tore up in the Holy Ghost and go to hugging and loving and a weeping. Big old grown boy just broke like a teddy bear. Ain't that a blessing? Some of you come walking in here like this right here. You're going to draw them guns and shoot. Amen. I mean, you got your shotgun in the back glass. You are bad to the bone. But the Holy Ghost got a hold of you. Now you just nothing but a little old puppy. Hallelujah. Ain't it a blessing? I was one of them boys, son. I mean, I tell you, buddy, I had it going on. Jesus come got me. Now I'm just a cream puff. Now I just squall and cry and
carry on and huh. But we ought to just be ourselves. Amen. There's a Marvel sitting at the table. There's a Martha serving at the table. But honey, let me tell you where we need to get to this morning. There's a Mary. She's spending at the table. Look what she does now, and I'll be done. Verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father hath given all things into His hands, that He was come from God and He went to God, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments. And He took a towel and He girded Himself in John 13. We need to get so humbled that we can be like Jesus and we can take and we can spend around the table in humility. Now you watch our sister. Not only did Jesus give us that example, look now what Mary does at the spending of the table. John 12, verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. Very costly. Somebody underline that. We don't need your wore out microwaves here. Oh, let's build a prophet chamber. Let's bring that old bed that Rover's been sleeping on back there in the back room. Let's bring that TV that we don't want to watch. Maybe some preacher'd want to look at it. See if I can think of something else mean to say this morning. We don't want that broke down window unit. It won't keep us cool. Send it down there and see if it'll keep that preacher cool. The Bible said this. And so she brought spikenard, very costly. Boy, I know some old mossbacks need to read their Bible. Somebody say amen right there. Very costly. Matter of fact, you're not going to worship Jesus till it costs you something. Very costly. And then this is what the Bible says. And anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Lord, I want to pop his jaws right now. This he said, watch, I tell you why this crowd upsets me. Not that he cared for the poor. He don't no more care about missions than nothing. But because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Verse 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. I want to say this morning. Mary's spending at the table. First of all, her worship was offered. She brought it with her. Brother Dennis has said it a whole lot of time. If we'd be prayed up out yonder and we got in here, honey, we would have our worship with us when we come in the house of God. Her worship was offered, brought it with her. Her worship was open. She didn't care who was in the house. I've seen this old highfalutin Baptist come in, you know, and see our pretty facility. And it looks like a Presbyterian church from the road, but it don't look that way on the inside. And they come in, they get offended because our Lazaruses get tore up. Because our Marys is running down at His feet a crying and a squawking. Thank God for Kleenex boxes. Somebody come in one time and said, Lord, goodness, preacher, y'all got a pretty place, but y'all must be the cryingest people I've ever seen. Well, you ought to try it sometime. Maybe your head wouldn't swell. And so we see here that her worship was no doubt, was it offered, but it was open. Her worship was obvious. It filled the house. Ain't it a blessing? Did y'all notice when worship broke out a while ago, how it touched you? I noticed some of you went to crying. You never do cry. But boy, when people go to worshiping Him, that God's done touched them and got them excited, and they go to worshiping Him in an open way, it affects others, don't it? The Bible said the odor filled the house. Boy, I thank God for the smell of worship. You ought to thank God that you can raise your children in an atmosphere where there's worship. Because I'm going to tell you something, we're bringing up generations know nothing about the Holy Ghost, know nothing about worship. Thank God her worship was obvious right out in front of her. I watch y'all sometime. And no doubt you would just love to do this sometime. Well, you got to get it here first. I watch some of y'all, you start looking around and say, amen. Praise the Lord. Heard one woman, and I said, hallelujah. I said, would you say that again? Hallelujah. I said, Lord God, there's a charismatic come in. Tongue speaking's coming next. Somebody guard it. Hallelujah. They unnerve me, buddy. Just say, hallelujah. Say, glory. Yep, man. You go down to ball game, shout. Her worship was obvious. Her worship was observed. Look what God done. God wrote two verses about two characters. But here He elaborates on six verses on worship. I mean, He tells a story about Martha and Lazarus in two verses. But it takes Him six to get it told about her. Worship's observed. Worship was outrageous. It was very costly. You know something? The only time you're going to really worship the Lord is if it costs you something. A lot of you, the plate comes around, you put in $10. You say, well, that don't hurt none. Put in $20, let it hurt a little. You know, I'm thinking about God's moved on my heart about this missions, this Macedonian missions, the last end of this year. We do good in our church on giving. For a church our size, we do. The Lord has blessed us so much. But I wonder what God would do if we all pulled up to the table and said, you know what, preacher? I can do a faith promise of 40 a month or 50 a month for my family. I can't do 50, preacher, but I can do 25. And one of our other little families do 25. And for every 50, we can bring on a missionary. And wouldn't that be amazing? I got 100, I think, and 6 families on our call list. Wouldn't it be a blessing, Brother David, just 25 committed to 50 a month and brought on 25 new missionaries in 1 month? I wonder what God would do at this place. Oh, but you're scared now because somebody's talking about your money. You eat that much ice cream a month. Y'all know what they charge me for a Frappuccino down here in this coffee store? $4.25. Now, I ain't got a drink but 10 of them. There's a missionary. I'm talking about above tithes and offerings. I mean, I done got a family said, preacher, I'll do it. The first Sunday of every month, we give our promise. Lord, we trust in You. This is what we're going to do. And for every $50 comes in this church, we're going to bring on a new mission. I hope it's 50 of them. Could y'all imagine? But Dave, could y'all imagine what God... See, can y'all imagine what God would do if all of a sudden we said, dear God, we're going to trust You, and here's 25 to 50 new missionaries. You know, I've noticed people where God's a blessing people. You ask this preacher over here, he's on the road more than I am. But this is what I've seen, Brother Jimbo. Where God's moving in churches... they mission-minded. They given to me. Why would God want to give us $100,000 to stay in a bank and not get His gospel out? Very conscious. Let me tell you, Jesus is sinner conscious. You say, you go to them old prisons and preach. Well, your youngin' may be in there. Matter of fact, if some of you got caught, you'd be in there. I'd be preaching to you. Oh, there's another Baptist preacher after our money. Take your stinking money home with you. And you want a blessing? Get in on the program. And you don't hush about these that want to. Just go and say something smart. Tell them, Deacon, amen.
Amen.
Tell them, Deacon, amen. Tell them, Deacon, amen. Tell them, Brother Jerry, amen. Tell them, Brother Michael.
Amen.
Praise God, Brother Jason. Say something, sir. Tell them something, Brother David.
Amen.
Lord God, we're going to be a church. Let's be a church. Let's get sinners saved. Let's see people get saved.
Amen.
We got 11, 12 missionaries right now. Matter of fact, right off the top, that's how much percent comes off. 30%. Every offering comes to the church. 30% goes in a mission account, rolled out every month to missions. 30%. Wouldn't that be a blessing to say, well, you know, Lord, I can give a little extra every month. Wouldn't that be a blessing? God will allow that to happen at our church and give us that shot that we need. He said, give and it shall be given. Very costly. Matter of fact, if it ain't going to cost you nothing, it ain't going to do nothing for God. Some of you driving 50 miles to get to this church, it's costing you something. Amen. I'd hate to know that you couldn't get preaching, drive 50 miles for preaching, didn't get it. Well, I didn't mean to kill the meeting, got on your little money. I know what I was going to do it. I shoot myself in the foot every service. I done got the family, said, preacher, I'll do it. First Sunday every month, just let them stick in another envelope. This is Macedonia Missions. We'll mail it out for you, preacher. I say, hallelujah. I ain't saying hallelujah either. Worship's absurd. Worship's outrageous. It's very costly. Her worship was offensive. Now I'm trying to leave, but I got to nail this. Worship was offensive. Look at verse 4 and 5. Oh, I got ahead of myself, ain't I? Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's servant, should trade. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? What? How? Hey, let me tell you something, friend. It's all about Jesus this morning. Ain't scared. Why was that vehicle given to that missionary? Why was that power bill paid for that family? Why didn't we vote on helping them?
Where'd they vote?
I might well go and get my say, because you're going to get your say going home. Right now I got you. You too embarrassed to say anything in front of the church. But you get over at Piggly Wiggly and be two-faced. Somebody say amen. Tell them, Deacon. Praise God. You'll talk about it over yonder at the Dollar General. Talk up. Stand up in front of these rednecks. Tell them how crazy your preacher is. Amen, boys. You with your preacher or what?
Amen.
Go on, stand up. Talk about your preacher now. You little skunk. Polecat. Very costly. Jesus said, look what he said. Let her alone. Her worship was official. Thank God. Boy, Jesus loves it when he costs you something in your worship. I told my wife this week, I said, honey, I'm behind on my tithes. We've got a right to check. I ain't going to be no God robber. Be a good message preached on Jesse James of the church. You don't believe in adultery, drinking. But you don't believe not robbing God, do you? I know I ought to preach 3 weeks ago. I got too much in me this morning. Would you read your Bible and see what Jesus said? He said, yes, very costly. Can I ask y'all something? What are you going to take them nice cars to glory with you? Some of y'all think you're going to take that deer rifle right on into glory. You ain't getting my deer rifle. And Lord, them pocketbooks. Don't mess with my pocketbook, preacher. We ain't taking this stuff with us. Give it unto the Lord. Give and it shall be given. No, you may not be in the Joneses' house. You might not drive the Joneses' car, but honey, let me tell you something. God can give you blessings money cannot buy. What's it worth for that little old baby of mine this morning coming giving that bucket with them little white shoes on? What's it worth for little old Mila and these little old babies run to the altar and pray? What's that worth to you? What's that worth, little kids come to the altar? But what's that? Is that worth anything? Boy, her worship was official. Let her alone. So the next time you see your brother or sister in the frame of worship, you know the best thing you can do? And get involved. Get involved. Thank God. I wish we had 300 Marys just laying around here weeping. Oh, I know it tears your nerves up. But if you get full of the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't care who worship. It's 12:30. 12:30. But we out of room here. So if you don't like preaching, you need to go someplace where they done at 12 o'clock. I mean, that'd be a lot cheaper than about $500,000 going this way. Oh, turn around. Tell, say, he loves us. Go on, tell, say, he loves us. Just turn around and say, oh, he's back. I appreciate you being here this morning.